A new film called Before the Rains is set in the southern Indian state of Kerala in 1937, at the beginning of the Indian independence movement. It stars Linus Roach as an English plantation owner, Jennifer Ely as his wife, Rahul Bose as his local right-hand man, and Nandita Das as their housekeeper. The film opens tomorrow, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Jennifer Ely back to the show. Hello.
Hello.
So how did you get involved with this project, and how did Linus, the two of you playing, reasonably playing British people in Kerala, but both of you living in New York?
Yes, that's funny, isn't it? I don't know. It came through my English agent, so I don't know how it came to Linus. But it just came out of the blue. It was an out-of-the-blue opportunity to go to India in January. I live upstate New York, so that's very attractive. And it was a script I loved, and I found the part very interesting. It's a small part, but I sort of the jigsaw puzzle element of fitting in around this.
Oh, well, we have to believe in you to believe everything else that happens. And I gather it's based on an Israeli short film called Red Roofs.
Yes.
Did
I
you
have
see
not
the film?
Seen it, no. No. And I think a lot of it, I would like to see it. I think a lot of it does come directly from there.
Now, the Kerala is a tropical area, really, in southern India, southwestern. So January was the right time to go? Would it have been oppressive
beautiful.
In the summertime?
You know, I don't know. I think the hill stations were always relatively cool. I know Santosh Shivan, our director, I heard him recently say that the weather was similar to Manchester, England, and that's one of the reasons the British liked it. I can't quite imagine that. I haven't spent much time in Manchester, but I don't remember it being quite like Kerala. But it was cool, I think, in the summers. But I don't know enough about it.
And you shot it on location?
We did. All the bits that I was... We used one house to be the house. You know, often you use four or five houses to be the house and a studio or different parts of it. But we actually just used this one house. So every day you would go to work at your house, and it was filled with lovely people. And it was an entirely Indian crew apart from the sound engineer. And it was a really wonderful, utterly unneurotic experience, I think, on everybody's part.
Produced by James Ivory, returning to his roots,
well,
because he started off making films about India.
He did, but he didn't actually produce this. This was
his name is just attached to it on some
he
level?
He fell in love with it after it was made and wanted to ensure that it was seen by audiences. It was actually a very low-budget film. It was, for me, as part of its wonder and its charm, is it works and it looks absolutely breathtaking because of how much everybody cared about it, because of the passion involved. But one of my favorite things about it was they only had one old-fashioned car, but they needed to have two old-fashioned cars. So they would repaint it every time they needed it to be one of the cars, but they couldn't shoot it all in sequence. So almost every time you went to the set, the car was being painted a different color or having the paint washed off it.
Now, the director is also the cinematographer.
And the camera operator.
That is a rarity, isn't it?
Wonder.
But how do you do that? It's hard enough for someone to direct and act in a film, but I would imagine even harder if the director is behind the camera, although he obviously knew where he wanted the camera to go.
Oh, he sure does. He's got an eloquence that is just staggering. He's a wonderful person to work with. He has a visual language that is really stunning, and it's one of the reasons the film does look like it has a huge Hollywood budget. He knows exactly what he wants, and you don't always know what it is that he is capturing, which is kind of exciting. But he does, and he doesn't have to tell anybody what it is because he's collaborating with himself.
You played Elizabeth Bennet in the BBC production of Pride and Prejudice, and of course you appeared in the New York production of Tom Stoppard's The Coast of Utopia. Got you your second Tony. Those are period pieces. You like playing period pieces? Did the costumes in any way affect the way you approach a character you're playing?
Well, I think they do. Whatever, you know, whatever period it is, even if it's contemporary. There are simply more stories from the past because it does open up the number of stories one can tell.
A lot more history out
there. If you include history, yes. I've also done The Real Thing, which was Tom Stoppard's play.
Your first Tony.
Yes, and that was contemporary. But no, it's true. Most of the things I've done have not been in modern day dress, and I enjoy that very much. But it's not something I particularly yearn for.
Are you one of those actors who likes to research the time and place where a story is set?
I think to a certain extent, I like to satisfy my curiosity. I'm not a complete stickler. But I do, it's interesting. It's a, you know, I'm fortunate because the work I do, I can use it as an opportunity to follow my curiosity and to learn things.
How much did you learn about Kerala? Because this is one of the odder places in the world. It's headed by a communist-led coalition. In fact, I think Kerala is the first area ever to elect a communist government. At the same time, this is a film that involves interracial romance. I wonder how the local and intolerance as well. Mm-hmm. I wonder how the locals reacted to what you were doing.
Everybody was extremely supportive. I mean, it's set in 1937. So
before the communists started winning
Kerala
elections.
Kerala changed a lot, of course, during partition, like everywhere in India. But in 1937, it's about 10 years before the British left. My grandmother and grandfather were part of the British being there. My mother spent her first 6 years in India, and she actually came over and joined us while we were there at the end, so we could travel around some. And it was the first time she'd been back since she was six, which was quite wonderful.
And you were born in North Carolina?
I was.
Your mother had never, Rosemary Harris, never had acted in India?
No, she was 6 years old when she left, and she's never worked there.
The story of the film concerns a tea plantation owner, Henry Moores, who's building a road up a mountain so he can harvest spices, and the project must be done before the monsoons begin. Did they actually build that road?
They did. And Santosh Shivan, the director, is from Kerala. And he says when he was a boy, he used to look at these roads going up these mountains and say, where did these come from? Who built them? And they were one of the part of the legacy of when the British left.
Part of the theme of the film is about the relationship between the colonial person and the local person. Mm-hmm. You can seem enlightened Henry Moores, not the sculptor, but Henry Moores has what seems to be a very good relationship with his local foreman, TK. But at the same time, and then he has an affair with the housekeeper, mm-hmm. You realize that there really is inequity. There's no way that these can be relationships between equals.
No, and it's very difficult. The wonderful Raoul Bose, who plays TK, the sort of foreman on the plantation.
He's almost the hero of the story.
He is the hero, yes. He is. It's almost as if they change places because you sort of think at the beginning Henry is going to be the hero, but it absolutely is TK. And TK's in an awkward position. He lives in the village. He's grown up in the village, but he's been educated by the English, and he reads English, speaks English, and he is, yes, becoming, he has an intimacy with his boss, but at the same time, when they go to the club, he can't enter. He has to stay in the car because there's absolute inequality, and that becomes clear, more and more clear as the story goes on.
And we realize that it's about just how loyal he is going to be willing to be because he winds up the most threatened person.
Yes, I mean, what is he going to be loyal to? Is he going to be loyal to his boss and to what he's been told is advancement by being learning the English ways, or is he going to be true to his village? And he ends up making a third choice, really.
You play Henry Moore's wife.
Yes.
You have just, at the beginning of the film, you've just come back from a visit to England, bearing gifts, and you really...
Bearing a bathtub.
And you try as much as possible also to break down the barriers. Mm-hmm. But little by little, you discover that your husband is having this affair, and we want to play a little clip.
Okay. Finally, an inspector is coming to call tomorrow.
What inspector? When did he contact you?
I contacted him after Sir Charney went missing.
Laura.
Typical of them to take this long.
You shouldn't have done that. I really don't think it's our business to get involved with something of this nature.
You ask me, Henry, when a girl goes missing, it's everybody's business.
And the girl who went missing was the housekeeper who Henry was having an affair
yes,
with.
Yes, was his lover. And my character doesn't know at that point about the affair, but she is unwittingly opens up a huge can of worms.
This is one of those roles where movie acting is really important, because a lot of your acting here is done with close-ups of your eyes. We see how you're thinking, totally opposite from the sort of thing that you can do on stage. Mm-hmm. So do you just change the way you approach a role when you're working in a film?
I don't know. I think the way one works is always the same. It's you try to serve the piece, the writing, the story, the script, and it's just different things are called for in different stories and different genres and different medium.
So would you do the same sort of thing on the stage, even though somebody in the back row might not notice what you're doing?
Yes, I think that's true. I think you don't sort of think, oh, I don't need to bother about making that real in my eyes. You don't think about it that way.
Because the big problem in the past for people who started in theater was that they were often accused of playing too big, and then they had to bring it down. But today we don't see that happening much.
No, it doesn't seem to be an issue. I think people work from the inside, working from the inside out. That I don't think one is going to end up. I remember a teacher I had at boarding school, actually. I went to Interlochen Arts Academy, and I remember Jude Levinson saying that if you believe something, that if you try to overact, you actually can't. That if you try, because somehow it frees you up to fill it from the inside, it's almost impossible to try to do something too big. But, of course, you can, if it's not real, if it's not filled from the inside, it can be an empty gesture.
Do you like going back and forth between theater and film?
Mm-hmm, I do. Film is a wonderful thing to do as a mother, because it's over and it's an adventure and it's fun, and then you get to go home again. And
with something like Coast of Utopia, you made a major commitment.
Yes, that was that for our whole family. That was a major commitment, and I would only do something like that if I really knew it was something special for us all three to be involved in, and it was. But no, the theater, when you're in something that's singing, if you're in a play that's working with an ensemble that's working, there is absolutely nothing to compare to that for me.
Well, Coast of Utopia also allowed you to play three different roles.
Mm-hmm.
So you became three different characters.
Sometimes in a day.
Well, I've always wondered about that mega performance where you did all three plays. Were you exhausted at the end?
Oh, no. The marathon days, the Saturdays where we would play from 11 in the morning till 11 at night with breaks, of course. But we would do all three plays in one day. They were the most extraordinary days I think I could never possibly have working. They were electrifying and... Yes, the adrenaline, the energy from the audience was extraordinary and highly addictive. I think we probably would have all done a year of those if they'd asked us by the end.
Well, I'm sure it's a lot more exciting because of the feedback, but also because you're just rolling along than making a film where you might shoot 5 minutes and then go off to your trailer and sit there for a couple of hours and then come out and do another few minutes and then go off again.
Well, that's also has its fascinations too. It does.
Before the Rains, which is a tragic story, but a gorgeous film, physically gorgeous film, opens tomorrow, as I said, at the Paris and Sunshine Theaters. Do you know if it'll be shown in India?
Yes, it is going to be shown in India. I'm not sure when, but hopefully next year we'll be able to go over and open it.
And are you going back to theater?
I am. It looks like that I'm going to be doing Tom Stoppard's adaptation of Ivanov in London this autumn with the Don Mar.
It is odd because you are an American, mm-hmm. and your accent, I don't know whether you change your accent according to where you are, but most people listening would not think of you immediately as being British. But you play so many British roles.
Well, I do. I was there for 12 years, and I definitely have a British side. I was an American teenager, and I think what you are as an American as a teenager is sort of never quite leaves. But I adore England, and it is a privilege to be allowed to portray British people as often as I get to.
And it's obvious you adore playing in Tom Stoppard plays.
Yes, I do. Playing his women, that is my very favorite thing to do at work, yes.
Because he gives you certain kinds of lines?
I just love the women he brings to life. I just adore them. And I, of course, the Anna, who I'll be playing in Ivanov, I think, is she's Chekhov's creation, but as told by Tom, she's different from any way that I've received her in other adaptations.
It's an interesting collaboration to imagine Chekhov and Stoppard.
Yes.
And I thank you so much for being with us, Jennifer Ely, who's one of the stars of Before the Rains, which opens tomorrow at the Paris and Sunshine Theaters.